Shelly?
Thank you, Shelly.
I understand, I'm an addict. And it's nice to be the narcotics on this meeting, and thank you, Mickey, for inviting me over. Mickey asked me to do this share about 3 months ago. I live in Dorset in Weymouth, so me and my wife have travelled quite far to get here today. And I said to him outside another meeting, I said, yeah, I'll do it, you know, typical way. He said, and it kind of got close, and I was like, no. So anyway, I'm here today, and I'm grateful I'm here, you know, I'm really am. And I was about to say that I got here October 95. I didn't. I got brought here. I didn't get here. I got brought here. And very damaged, very smashed person. And I've lived over 17 years nearly coming now to in Dorset in Weymouth, and I left London quite a long time ago. So it's quite overwhelming coming back here, to be honest with you. It's like, wow. You know, I used to run around these streets many years ago, and when I thank you for your shares, Wallace. Thank you. When I some people brought me to Narcotics Anonymous, like a lot of us, I didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, I really didn't. Very frightened person. And I sat at the back of everything and with my back to the wall. And I wouldn't make eye contact with nobody. I wouldn't hug nobody. And I remember my second meeting I went to, I had Walkmans in my ear. And I didn't really want to do the serenity prayer. I just didn't want to be there. You know, I really... You know, my using for me was horrendous, like a lot of you here. You know, my using wasn't glamorous. It really wasn't. You know, and I kind of ended up putting needles in places needles don't go, you know, in my body. You know, for many years. And, you know, when I got here, I kind of knew I was a junkie, but I didn't know I was an addict, you know. I didn't know what addiction even was. So when... The detox finally, a year later, finally, you know, I don't even remember. I really don't remember the wanting to still use when it got lifted even. I don't, it just went on and on and on, and it was like, I remember it being like a year later and I still wanted to use. You know, it's almost like I went to bed one night. And it didn't even dawn on me that the obsession's gone. It didn't dawn on me. But what, for me, I couldn't stop thieving. And I still stole him, you know, when I kind of got here. And I thought he was all right. I thought he was all right to take things out of shops still, you know. I didn't understand. And I'm 53 now, and I didn't think I was going to make 40, you know. I think I was 36, what age, I can't remember. But you know, and I started doing what everyone else was doing around me. You know, putting chairs away, you know, and I remember when people just say to me, how you doing? And I remember thinking, this is a bit too much of a conversation. this is going on a bit too long for me, you know what I mean? And everyone was like, how you doing? I'm all right, you know. Yeah, you doing? I'm all right. And really, I wasn't all right. I was really hurting. I was very scared, you know. And I spent 2 years pumping weights in the gym, you know, really hurting my body. And... I fell in love with some men through this fellowship, and we're no longer with us, you know. And it ripped my heart out, man. You know, these men, I loved them. You know, we kind of grew together, and a good friend of mine committed suicide last year. you know. And it was. Around for a long time in this fellowship, you're going to love people and they're going to die. But this is a nasty disease, man. Nasty, nasty disease. You see, my mindset was, as long as I put that chemical down, I kind of had this illusion, this false illusion in my mind that I'm going to be a great guy. I'm going to be a lovely man, you know. And when I was taken through the 12 steps, this program, when I lied my way through these 12 steps, I should say, I started to realise I had a lot of issues. I had issues with my colour. I never knew who I was. You know, my father's from Jamaica, my mum's from South London. I never knew, you know, I've got a 33-year-old daughter. I wasn't really part of her life. I was really petrified of my daughter to have a conversation with her. And it was really like, I found it really hard. I found recovery really hard, to be honest with you, you know. And I kept distressing up myself on the outside, you know. Kind of sneaking into boots and just having a lot of squirt up of aftershave and going to a meeting, you know what I mean? And if she's going to turn up, you know, and quite not knowing, you know, it's funny, you know, she talks about the readings. When I first come to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't understand the readings and I didn't understand why we got to read, because my fear was, and my truth is, as I sit here today, I couldn't read or write when I come into recovery. I literally could not read or write. And it was a thing, I masked that down for many years on the street. And it was quite funny, really, quite ironic looking back, because I was out doing a lot of different things on the street, and one of the things I got into was fraud. I couldn't read or write. It's quite ironic, really. So I kind of, off the help of some other people, I went into like a reading class for a while. And I was reading children's, like, nighttime books. You know, and I suppose all these little things kind of helped me along my way. You know what, the road's still going on for me today, you know? I spent years doing step 1 to 9 and just living in them steps, and now I live in from 10 to 12, you know? And I can really understand a lot of us. You know, we kind of like, look, man, I'm going to give it to you straight up. I can't lie to you, my family. I had bins, man. I'm usually more glamorous. I had bins. You know, my family was. This disease ruined my family, man. Wrecked my family. Ripped my father's heart out. You know, rips it. I saw my father cry. You know, and my father was a diabetic. And I remember being in Brixton. About, you know, when we have them mad moments where no one's got anything. Great. So you spend all day trying to get money, then no one's got anything. So, you know, I ain't giving up. So I've got, but I ain't got nothing to do to put even my body with. I don't know, just get over to my parents' house, you know, like 2 a.m. My poor parents, their pensioners are in bed. I just need to use a toilet. You know, and I'm like, using my father's syringe, and my dad kind of walked in the bathroom, which I thought I locked, and there I was with my trousers down to my knees, doing what I was doing at the time, and he just broke his arm, you know. And I remember looking at him saying, I remember him saying to me, Stanley, what's wrong with you? And I looked at him and said, Dad, I don't know. and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I never knew. Nobody told me what was wrong with me. It started off with a bit of fun. It started off with this disease, a disease of a lie and illusion. It led me to believe I was in charge. I was not in charge. Everything what I saw on the street and places I ended up, I always knew I was going to do that. But I remember looking down at people thinking, that's disgusting, man, what are you doing? You know, and I remember the last sentence I'd done in an institution, and I spent 2 days trying to make a syringe. And I remember I got sick of seeing me, and I got a terrible emphasis. And the denial thing was, I remember when I was very ill and I got carried over to the hospital wing, I remember my mind thinking, that gear was cut with some shit. That gear was rubbish. I nearly died, man. And you know that thinking of this is always going to be different. This is always going to be different. We're going to do things different. You see something. I was sitting, I was listening to Lisa, and I was thinking this the other day. You see, there's a part of my mind what it told me to do something. And when I muck it up, there's another part of my mind that says to me, you're a fool, you're stupid. You're stupid, Stanley, you're worthless. And I've had that since I've been a child. I'm not ashamed to say that I love God. And I don't mean the name God. I look at the power behind the name. And you know what? I went to church a while ago. I was talking to this Christian guy. And I said to him, what difference does it make, right? If you pray in the alley on your knees or you pray in a church. And he said to me, well, it's a place of God and blah, 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 blah. And I remember driving home. And I was thinking, you know what? It doesn't make no difference. It doesn't make no difference where you pray or who you pray to. Every meeting we close with a serenity prayer. Every reading I've heard over and over and over. You know what? How one of the ways I learned to read was I had a literature secretary post, and I used to pull the literature on the bed, and I started off, you know, why are we here? And I used to rehearse the words. So when they come out to me, the God was given to me in a different meeting. Sometimes I felt short because they give me the wrong card and I couldn't leave it. And that's been pinched on my life, man. So I know I'm not in charge here, my brother. I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge here. You see, my mind right now wants to come out of something really powerful. See, this disease is constantly working in me, man. Constantly working in me, working in me, working in me, working. But you know what? I've kind of learned to laugh at myself, and I'm kind of like, I've stuck around a while. I was in my home group last night, which is in Weymouth, and it's the, I forgot my home group's name, man. But it's my home group, and it's the meditation group. It was my idea to make it the meditation group, so every 2-3 weeks we have this meditation, and my mates are like, oh no, we ain't got that tonight. So you sit there. So you see these big air, you see some big guys coming in there, and they're thinking, well, what's the sharing? And we're all sitting, everyone's staring at this candle in the middle of the floor. And it's good stuff, man. You know, and I do meditate today, you know. I do meditate. I don't sit cross-legged trying to get all the, you know, all that stuff going. Well, everyone to their own, man, you know what I mean? This is why I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. This program has given me, my mother left South London and she now lives in Weymouth. Somebody last year said to me as a child, you're like a mummy's boy. And I remember I looked at him and I said, you know, that's a really nice compliment. It's a good compliment. I felt resentful the next day, though. But that's a good compliment, you know. And, you know, it's that thing of, I was in a meeting last night and I remember that I listened to someone, you know, the meeting was going on and I was sitting quiet and I was listening. And I got talking to a young guy who had just come back after 3 years. I was talking to him. And I said to him, you know what? This thing is free, but you've got to work for it. For me, I can't just turn up and sit down in a meeting. Because what happens to me, I start coming to meetings less. I stop putting money in these pots less. I stop talking to people less. I move away from step one less. I remove myself from God less. And I sit in a room and I'm back to being psychotic without the drug in my body. I end up talking to myself again. I end up with terrible road rage. I end up in trouble, man. Some serious trouble. I end up in a dark place, basically. You see, for me, I can only share for me, my nightmare really started when I stopped using. Because my false illusion was that everything, I wanted to be like you very quick. Everybody looked shiny. Everybody had good teeth. I ain't got no good teeth. You know? My friends used to wish, I live along the beach. I've never worn shorts because I've got legs. Like cocktail sticks. So I still suffer from that self-conscious stuff. Now, if somebody says to me, man, you've got some skinny legs on you, man, that's me. Never again, never wear shorts. You know? That same thing. I remember that as a child, though. I remember as a child when the teacher marked my work, and my friends might have like 8 out of 10 or 9, and if I've got a 4, I said, just flick that over there. And you know the mad thing about that today? I myself and my wife, we've got a nearly 10-year-old son. He's very similar to that. If he can't be good at it within 1 second, he don't want to do it no more. You know? So my mindset into meeting people, interacting with people, took me quite a while. That's my truth. My mindset was, hello, how you doing? Yeah, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm dying, I'm crying, you know, inside, but yeah, I'm fine, I'm good. And just keep smiling and waving to people, man. You know, and you see, it was told to me a long time ago, no matter what happens, Stanley, just don't use. But you know what, I never tell people that today. I don't say that to people, because I know this disease is more powerful than these words I'm going to say to somebody. So what am I saying that stupidness for? Because I've heard a lot of sayings in this fellowship, and I've looked in this book so many times, I've been through so much literature, and I ain't seen any of there once. So I'm thinking, where's this stuff come from? So I don't say that stuff. I used to blab it out there. Yeah, you're powerless. Yeah, you're this. Yeah, you're that. I've got no power over nobody. If someone's going to do what they're going to do, they're going to do. That's the bottom line of it, man. I suppose the luxury of being in a very small seaside town, I get to say, where's Joe today? How come no one's seen Joe? So Joe's, you know, like, for me, I always sit in the same chair. I don't know why I do that stuff all the time. I always seem to sit in the same chair I've done for years. So that's almost like, that's my chair, but it ain't my chair. But you know when you see an empty chair, you start wondering where people are. So, you know, we go looking for them, man. You know? Well, I've heard many people go, yeah, I knew you was going to relapse. I saw that coming. I'm thinking, did you? Did you really? Maybe I'm asleep, man. Maybe I'm asleep. It's when I sat down here and looked up and I thought to myself, I don't feel scared, man. I don't feel scared. I feel quite honoured, you know, to come into Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know, and a friend of mine said to me, man, you're really going to go to any lengths? I said, you know what, my friend? It doesn't matter. This is a narcotic, I don't care what this means, it's just a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, man. That's all I treat it. That's it, straight up. And I suppose it's nice for me and my wife to get out waiting for one night even, you know what I mean? It's just quite nice, you know what I mean? And, you know, I could sit here and make it sound a bit egotistic, like all the things I've gained. I think the main thing I've gained, one of the, you know what, the one thing this fellowship promised me is delivered. I didn't come here for no short temper. I didn't come in here because maybe I'm a bit too thin or maybe I'm too fat, whatever. You know, I come in here with a drug problem. I come here with a heroin addiction, severe mash-up heroin addiction. When I first messed around with that other white stuff, there wasn't even no crack cocaine, it's free basin. And once I knew I could get that in me, oh dear. You know, and why did I really believe? I went out and done some things many years ago, me and another couple of people. And we had this thing in our mind that we're going to start doing something dodgy in chemists. Why did I believe? I couldn't even read these tablets I was taking. You know, why did I believe in this stinking illness that, yeah, just get that down your neck, take this, do that, do this, you know, and kind of that mindset on long, long drawn out methadone scripts, you know. Being up Tottenham Court Road on a Saturday, getting old private scripts, doing this, doing that, doing this, and it was so, I don't know about you, man, but I was just tired, man. I'm like, I was tired. I got tired of walking. I got tired, man. I got so tired. I just needed to rest myself, and I really did. And I kind of got that rest in here, you know, and kind of matured a bit in this fellowship. I give the wrong information out to people in this fellowship. I listened to tapes in them days and I thought that guy sounds really powerful in America, and I started repeating his words and pleading to get anything wrong, you know. I'm talking over people's inventories, you know. I've gossiped about people, you know what I mean, and I can only put my hand in my heart today and I ain't that person, man. You know, I really ain't that person. And don't get me wrong, I have to catch myself all the time in this stuff. All the time. Because what I'm learning still today, if I become too comfortable in this, I'm going to use, I will pick up a drug and put it in me. But you see, my mind don't tell me to use. My mind just says to me, kill yourself. Just kill yourself. Just kill yourself, man. My mind don't even want, it don't even take me. Man, I wonder what that's going to be like. I wonder what that's going to be like. You know? But I was born to some young guys, man, and I don't even know what they're talking about. What they're talking about. I'm like, what? I don't know what I'm about. But you know, my brother, come, we'll read this book and we're going to do some work out of this book here. And I don't underestimate the power of this disease, to put it that way. You know, I really don't. When I try and roll with this thing and try and believe that my ego believes that I'm in charge, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, it's almost like, man, I come in here with one bin liner, like a few of us did, you know what I mean? I come in here with clothes and everything, I come in with clothes, every bit of clothes I had was blood on them. My first bit of clothes I bought was from charity shops in Weymouth, then I found a Littlewoods catalogue shop, and I said, buy Littlewoods clothes, that's no problem, that's cool. And but you see, them little things there for me, that some of my younger brothers now, they just want to be walking around in Armani clothes all the time. And I'm looking at them thinking, really? You know? And I'm glad that, I'm glad I had nothing, man. I'm glad I come from nothing, for me personally. I'm glad I was one of them night walkers, you know? I remember the petrol station there where I was going to say lived, where I was dying. The poor man in the petrol station, he must have saw me 6 times in one night. And the more he saw me, the more I was like, the mouth was leaning over there, the pointing was going over that way. It was just crazy, man. And then it was like, my brother, man, just give me one of them. I ain't got no money on me. You know? And it just went on and on and on. And it was begs to Labora. Never tomorrow, man. And I've had very little to do with what I'm talking about, believe it or not. I've had very little to do with it. Even though the ego likes to always push everything out of the way and say, no, this is what you've achieved, this is what you've achieved. You know, I've achieved one or two small things, but in the light scale of things, Narcotics Anonymous has carried me, man, in my life today. It has done. And I'm forever grateful for that, man. And now I pay my gratitude. I sponsor. Some people say I sponsor too many people, but I don't go out looking for people to sponsor. You know, that's a lie. Two people I have, I grabbed them. I must admit, I grabbed them. But you know what? Hey, why not? You know, why not? And some of these men have been, one person I think is going on 10 years I've sponsored him for. And, you know, it's like, it's nice to be part of someone else's recovery. It's quite funny when your sponsor starts sponsoring someone who's quite new about, and then you start looking at them thinking, man, you're growing up too quick, man. Slow down, man. You're getting really well quick. Slow down. And then we know what people go, they disappear, they come back, and that's fine, you know what I mean? And I love this program, you know, because it's a program of addiction. And I'm learning stuff all the time, you know, I learn stuff all the time, and I'm learning. I don't want to be the best. I'm just learning to become a man and to be counted. Be a man and be counted. Be a loving person to myself. And that, I drop short at that. I drop short at a lot of things. You know, I'm defected, man. Come on, let's get this right. I'm defected. You know what I mean? And for me, you know, to be honest with you, for me, when I go out and rob anybody, I don't rob any shops or anything like you know, like, I don't do anything like that today. And my life has been very, very, very far away from that for a long time. You know, and if I can make a little bit of difference in my little tiny seaside sleepy town of a cold, cold church hall, 3 times a week. I'm there, man. I'm there, you know. And you know what? I remember my mind when I got to when I achieved a little goal when I got to 5 years, I stopped. I don't know why I put that in my own mind. I kind of slowed down. You know, I was in the conventions, yeah, 5 years, yeah, throwing the hand up, yeah, that's me, big 5 years, yeah, thank you. Going in the toilet and break down crying, you know. And I kind of like, kind of done this, my, for me personally, my recovery's not been clear sailing, and that's my truth, it's not been clear sailing, it's kind of been, I've hit some ups and downs. I think the most things I've hit really are deaths in this fellowship. That's the thing that ripped my heart out. And I suppose it was the death of other men I loved what really made me realise what I am personally up against here. So, just by me travelling 140 miles to come here and share in this beautiful meeting in a beautiful Narcotics Anonymous meeting, it's nothing, man. It's nothing. It's no big thing. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? And, you know, It's I kind of like being on the traditions. You know, never understood them. I mean, I'm going to be taken through them a few times, you know what I mean? But quite big on them, love the steps, you know what I mean? And I'm not one of them people to go quoting everything because my memory's not that great. But I kind of like, I don't want to get to know these words. I want to just experience my life, man. I want to experience my life, you know, not the words, you know what I mean? I'd kind of like, I've got a, my wife got a son, you know, and I've got some stepchildren. My daughter lives in Dubai. My daughter, 33, she lives in Dubai, and I was out there. I was in a narcotics meeting just coming up to 2 years ago in the desert, man, in narcotics. I couldn't speak a word of English, but I sat with them, you know. And one guy there could speak not fairly good English, and he kept translating it for me. You know, and I thought that blew me away, being out there, you know, that blew me away. And to see how powerful this fellowship is, you know, to see this book in Arabic, it's quite amazing, really. It's kind of like amazed me, man, you know, and it's quite bizarre because they use these little candlelight means. The meat starts at 10 o'clock at night because it's so hot there, and you can't see nothing. So everybody's got their phone trying to read the literature. And I was thinking, why don't you put a light on, man? And I remember saying to this guy, because being said, to put a light on, my brother said, no, we don't put a light on it. No light. No light. No light. You know? I can't go far, very far away from this program. You know, I've tried to do the weak thing. I ain't going to meet tonight, I'm angry. You know, oh, I've got a lot on. I've been working all day. You know the old thing, man. Yeah, he wouldn't, you know, yeah, he didn't know he was using, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But for me, really, to be honest with you, a week, 10 days, 15 days, I'm back in trouble, basically. But I'm not in trouble, you know. I'm not into football, so football would never draw me away from this fellowship. I'm not really a sporty person, to be honest with you. The truth is, I've got man boobs, I've got thin legs, and I'm cool. I'm all over where I am today, and I really know this is just a shell. When I die, that's it, it's a shell. Not a big thing, man, you know. I walked down the aisle with someone in this fellowship, and 5 months later, they were dead. And I stood in a church, and his parents asked me to say some words. And this guy I loved was from here to where this lady is here, in a box. And something just, thank you. I loved that, man. I loved that. Something inside of me changed, I believe, in my heart. And changed. And, you know what, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom, like, yeah, we're all going to die, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean nothing like that, but I'm just saying that for what you got and you're sitting there clean, please hang on to it. Mm-hmm. Hang on to it. Ask for help. Get a sponsor. Don't ask your mate to be a sponsor. Don't ask your woman to be a sponsor. Get a sponsor. Sponsor people. Take people to work. Meet up people. Give up your time. Put the chairs out. Put your hand in the pot. I'm terrible, really bad when I go to my home group because I'm looking at people always and I'm thinking, you put a pound in a pot. You can't do nothing with a pound. You know what I mean? When I watch Bond season, I'm like, how much you put in the pot? Put more in the pot. Put money in the pot. You know? And, sorry, I'm a bit of a pitbull man, you know? And because you know what? If we don't have newcomers coming to this fellowship, and if we don't keep carrying this message, and the whole thing keeps recycling and recycling and keeps carrying on, we fold and we become unattractive, you know? Young people in this fellowship, more of them are coming into the doors now. More and more people are coming into this fellowship. So you mustn't put people down. You mustn't judge people just trying to be there to love them, man. You know, I love what you just said, you know, people loving us, we love ourselves. Man, I still need, but you know what? There's one thing I've struggled in this book and everybody else, I'm going to put it out there now. I'm sorry, you can bleep this out. I'm not going to swear, trust me, I don't need to. I do not live on a bridge to normal living. I live on a 12-step bridge. I don't live on no normal bridge to living. I tried it. I had the Mercedes, the house, the this, the that. I've done all that. And you know what happened to me? I become very unspiritual. So for me, then, look, the bridge to normal living, I can't do it. I do the 12-step living. Thank you very much. I'll leave it there. Thank you. God bless you.